Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And, of course, last week we welcomed the new listeners to The Word, KWRD-FM in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I guess we're doing that again today, and we want to hear from some of our folks in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, along with all of you, hearing the program wherever you live. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742, again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Richard Piper.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to open today with some not-so-good news, and I hope that most of you have heard this, that you're aware of it, but the terrible devastation that was caused in Nepal by the major earthquake.
Yes.
I mean, one of the aftershocks was bigger than most of the earthquakes I've lived through in my life.
Yeah.
And that triggered avalanches up in the mountains, and so a lot of people were killed on Everest, and the last I saw, the death toll is up over 4,000
now.
And, you know, the more towns they find and the more rubble they come out of, it's, you know, so our prayers are with those people and with the folks who are racing to try and save as many as can be saved, get food and clothing and shelter set up for these folks. You know, usually we ask you to support us in our ministry, but I think it's totally appropriate if you have a few extra dollars that you can spare for the Red Cross or whoever it is that is getting supplies out there, please do so. Those people are in desperate straits, and I think the least we could do is try to help them out.
Yeah.
On a more positive note, we know that things like this are going to happen in our world.
Right.
And if you're in a place like, you know, here south of Dallas last night, there were tornadoes, very severe thunderstorms. That happens in other parts of the country. How is it that you can know that whatever comes up, that you're ready? And I'm not talking about being ready with food and shelter. I'm talking about being ready to die if it comes to that.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and we talked about it last week, I want to reemphasize it today. One of the things, perhaps the only thing that will make it possible for you to face these kinds of emergencies with peace in your heart, is the absolute assurance that you are a forgiven person. You don't have to think that whatever is coming, you know, your house blows down or you lose your roof or something, that's not God's judgment on you. That is the result of a sinful world tearing itself apart, because that's what Satan does.
Yes.
He kills and steals and destroys. That's what he does. And knowing that you are a forgiven person, that Jesus took away your sin once and for all, is the doorway to being able to step into the abundant life, regardless of what you have or don't have, regardless of what you lose or gain, regardless of what happens to you personally or to your friends or family. Knowing that you're a forgiven person is everything, because that enables you to say, not only am I forgiven, but the result of that forgiveness is that Jesus made me alive. He gave me the Holy Spirit, and now I'm in a position that can never be taken away from me. And you know, one of my favorite passages out of Romans 8, if you want to understand your salvation, read Romans 8 about eight times a week.
Yeah.
But there's a passage in here starting in verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And we think about that. We say, ooh, Jesus is interceding between me and God because God wants to whack me. He wants to kill me. That's not true.
No.
God is the one who sent the Son, who sent Jesus to die and be rose to rise again for us. So who is Jesus interceding between us? Between us and Satan? Because Satan is the one who is there accusing us, telling Jesus, you can't save that person. Do you realize what they did? They thought this thing. They said that thing. And Jesus just keeps telling him to go away. These people belong to me.
Yeah.
And for those people who don't belong to him, Jesus doesn't reject them. He is trying desperately to save them out of the clutches of Satan. Because that's where we're all born. We're all born under the control of Satan, dead spiritually. And Jesus is the only one who can offer the kind of choice that we need, the choice to accept life instead of to remain dead. Yeah. And that's the kind of assurance that we each need in order to get through the kinds of things that are happening in this world today.
That's important stuff, Richard, and thank you for sharing that with our listeners. And friends, if you would like to join the conversation on this particular topic or some other topic, why, we encourage your phone call right now to 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and the number is 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, a great opportunity right now. In the meantime, let's go up to the beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia, and talk to Andy. Andy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Hi there. We're doing great. Good to hear from you.
Hi. Good. My question is in Romans chapter 11, verse 21, where it says, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either." And in context to that scripture, it talks about how we were grafted in because the natural branches were then cut out because of their unbelief. Mm-hmm. And it points out that it says right here in verse 18, "But do not be arrogant toward the branches, because it is the root that supports," in which basically, does that mean if anything lost of salvation, if a branch gets cut out?
No, not necessarily. You've got to remember that Romans 9, 10, and 11 occur in the context of this incredible salvation that Paul has written about in the first 8 chapters. And then he comes to the problem of, well, what about my brothers and sisters, the Jews? And he would cut off his right arm. He would have given up his own salvation if it meant that his countrymen, his fellow Jewish people, would accept Jesus Christ. Now, of course, he wasn't going to do that because his salvation isn't dependent upon that happening. But that's how deeply he cared for them. And so the way he looked at Israel was that they had suffered a hardening of their hearts, that indeed, in a way, you could see them as having been cut off of the vine. It's a vine and branches analogy continuation. And yet, any Jewish person who accepts Jesus is grafted right back in again. So that being cut out of the true vine was not a forever thing. And his warning to we Gentiles is to not be arrogant, because if we think that somehow we have a special relationship with God that Jewish people can't have, then we have missed the point entirely. And I personally put it in the context of, okay, we've got a bunch of people who show up at church every week, sometimes several times a week, and what God is trying to get across to them is the message to the church at Laodicea: you're poor and miserable and blind and naked, and you don't know it. You're about to be spewed out of my mouth. Please come to Jesus and receive that salvation. And in that case, then both Jew and Gentile, by the same means, are saved, by the grace of God, receiving the indwelling Holy Spirit. And these three chapters in Romans lose some of their fear, I think, when we look at it that way. Because I know back in the bad old days in my belief system, I kind of looked at this as, oh my, you know, the Jews are lost. Who's going to replace them? I thought my church did, and that was not true. And then, oh, if the Jews are lost, can I be lost? And since I believed at that time that I could lose my salvation, I lived in fear all the time. And that's not the point of this chapter. The point of this chapter, this whole section, is that God's grace is sufficient even for this kind of a confusing situation. And don't count the Jews out. Don't be arrogant against them. Don't be arrogant in yourself. In fact, he's warning Gentiles not to suffer the same fate as the Jews, because the Jews thought themselves above reproach, cut from different cloth, because they were Jews. And what he's trying to tell them is, no, that's not the case. You need to accept Jesus just like everybody else needs to accept Jesus. And, you know, then we can all be grafted into the vine because the root is Jesus. The root is not either Judaism or Gentilism. The root is Jesus, and all of us are being grafted in for that.
Okay. So this issue is not about salvation at all then, really. It's just about what really what who Jesus is in terms of what he's done for all of us.
Yes.
And pretty much. Well, okay, because
yeah,
I've heard the scripture used as like, oh, you could use your salvation. Look what it says here.
Yeah. If you go a little bit further in chapter 11, he comes to this in verse 28. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so too they now have become disobedient in order that they too may know or may now receive mercy. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. He is working with every person in this world who has ever lived to try to accept Jesus Christ. And I said the analogy was a vine and branch extension, but it's actually, I was wrong there. It's actually the olive tree. And the olive tree is always seen as a picture of Israel. And again, God is the root. Jesus is the root. And we're all being grafted into Israel. What is Israel? It's anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ on this side of the cross. Prior to the cross, it was anyone who accepted the one true God. But God revealed himself in Jesus and has revealed himself to us in Christ, and let's just all accept Jesus and find out what oneness is all about as we learn to live with each other.
All right. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
Good to hear from you, Andy. Hope you keep listening and call again if you have further questions. And friends, you can call right now. That number, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines, 844-32-BASIC, the short version of that. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to go to New York and talk with Doris in just a moment, Richard. But again, friends, you're listening to Basic Gospel, Richard Piper and Bob Davis. And, if you're new to this program called Basic Gospel, we have a special gift for you. Among other important things, you'll receive a copy of our booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. And for yours, just go online to basicgospel.net and click the graphic in the lower left corner of the homepage. Again, that's the lower left corner of the homepage and at basicgospel.net, and we'll get a copy of it on the way to you. It's a wonderful book, and you know what? You can't beat the forgiveness of God.
You cannot.
You just can't. So take advantage of that, friends. Again, go to Basic Gospel. And now let's go and talk with Doris listening in the Big Apple. Well, welcome to the broadcast, Doris. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm calling because last week a man called and he wanted to know where does all the evil come from. And your answer was really good that you gave him, but I was reading Isaiah 45, verses 6 and 7, and you might want to read it on the air unless you want me to read it.
Well, I'm getting there. If you already have it in front of you, go ahead.
Okay, verse 6 says, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Okay, so what we've got there is a translation issue. What version are you reading?
St. James.
The King James Version?
King James.
Okay. Yeah, the NIV says in verse 7, I form the light and create darkness, so difference between darkness and light. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I'd have to check some other versions as well. God simply cannot be responsible for evil. If he
right.
is.
Well, we know that even though God is a loving God and a kind God, God is also a sovereign God.
He is. But his sovereignty does not include creating evil. If God was responsible for evil, then it's all over but the shouting. There would be no salvation. There would be no forgiveness. There would be no anything because there wouldn't be a God.
Mm-hmm.
Satan personally is responsible for evil. He is personally responsible for taking all of the good that God created and turning it inside out and upside down and trying to destroy everything God has done.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, I believe, the weight of the evidence, according to all the passages, even apart from a translation issue like this, even apart from that, there is more than enough evidence that demonstrates God is good, Satan is not, and God is going to be victorious over Satan because, Satan is created, two, Satan created invented this evil, and God's just, he's already sent Jesus and completely destroyed sin as the thing that separates us from himself.
Right.
And because Jesus rose again and was victorious over death, then, of course, any one of us who accepts Jesus is completely safe.
Right.
And that is amazing. So
yes, it is.
So I think that, you've got a legitimate point there, and what I would invite you to do is to look it up in several different versions and get a feel for what it's talking about here, because in this chapter, he's talking about, look back at the beginning. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of. So this is a prophecy concerning Cyrus, and this was done years and years before Cyrus came on the scene. And Cyrus was one of the people that God used both to judge Israel for their refusal to follow God, but also to bring Israel back when the time had been fulfilled. So there's actually great hope in this prophecy. So anyway, thank you very much for your call, Doris.
Thanks, Doris. Hope you keep listening and call again. Let's go to Rockland County, New York, and talk with Mac, listening on our great New York affiliate WMCA. Hi, Mac. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Doing great. Good to hear from you. Go ahead.
Good. I wanted to make a comment also. It's just kind of referring to the tragedy that happened in, like, Nepal, and also it may also address the comment of you and made last week when he was trying to kind of lead and say that God was a killer, but I noticed in Luke 13, Jesus addressed the topic, about death, and in Luke 13, it sort of comes in and it talks about some people who witnessed Pilate mingling blood with sacrifice. So there are obviously people who worshiped him, and Pilate slaughtered them, and there were people, and the people kind of saying that, like, were they bad, were they worse sinners, and Jesus, he answered that clearly. He said no. So it tells you that, when things happen in life, it's not about God doing it. Some things happen, but it's not about it's not about death. It's about what condition you're in when you meet death. So
yes.
he always says repent or perish. He brought up another, in that same thing, he brought up another example. He was talking about the 18, who perished in the towers of Siloam.
Yes.
And he says, were they worse sinners than you? He said, but unless you repent, you will also suffer a similar fate. So things happen. People lose their lives from many different things, but where are you? What's your condition when you meet death? Are you saved? To address the guy from last week also, God is sovereign. We don't have to understand God's sovereign plan. It's going to continue whether we agree to it or not.
Yeah.
You understand? But at the end of the day, God takes care of children. So if whatever happened and God had a wrath, whatever condition those people were in, whatever their position was, if they were saved, they weren't saved, whatever, that's between God and them, you know.
Yes.
So if he's not saved or he wasn't saved, because I know you asked him and you say, well, how does that apply? Like, that's not related to what I'm saying, but it does, because if he's saying what he's saying, obviously he's not born again. So whatever situation he may fall under, God forbid, or come up against, you know, where would he be when he meets death? And that's what he mostly has to worry about, is his position and where he's at, you know, and that's all I really have to say.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling, Mac. The issue that we have with bad things that happen, whether they're accidental or whether God ordered certain things to happen, is that we always look at them from a behavioral point of view. Someone must have done something that deserved to be punished so severely that God, you know, killed them. And that raises the question, well, what about people who haven't been around long enough to do anything bad, you know, the so-called innocent children? Paul answers that in one way in Romans 8. You know, I refer to Romans 8 a lot because
it's good stuff.
It's good stuff. Verse 20, for the creation, he's talking about the whole world, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. This is one of the reasons why I absolutely cannot accept evolution as the means of how all of us got here, because the Bible says that the whole creation is decaying. We're devolving. We're not evolving. And when you see what happened in Nepal, when you see what happens along any of the rift zones in the world, when the earth decides to move and the continents tear themselves a little bit more apart, this is a world that is trying to tear itself apart because it is out of balance. It is subjected by sin to the destruction of Satan. And God is going to, one of these days, fix all of that and is going to recreate it brand new. And that's the only solution for these horrible things that happen. On the other hand, while we're living here, we've got to realize that not even innocent children are born innocent. Children are selfish. They are born spiritually dead. When you watch a child beg for things and throw a fit when they don't get those things, you know exactly what's going on. They are not innocent in that sense. They haven't had a chance to choose Jesus yet, and God knows exactly what to do with them because he is sovereign, and I leave them in his perfectly loving and perfectly just hands. And, you know, some of these issues we really just can't speak to. We know they happen, but we know that we serve a loving God, and the two sometimes cannot be harmonized together. We just have to leave it in the hands of a sovereign God. So, Mac, thanks for your comment. Really appreciate
it. Absolutely. Hope you keep listening and call again. Thanks to each of you who called to be a part of this one, and we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll do it again. And if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with us, why, we encourage you to call early in the broadcast. In the meantime, remember that for your free copy of our booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life, just visit us at basicgospel.net and click the graphic in the lower left corner of our homepage. You'll love this little booklet. The details in great detail, the forgiveness that is ours through Jesus Christ and that he's provided for us. And again, just click the graphic in the lower left corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net, and your gift will be on the way very, very quickly. Also, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. We are a listener-supported ministry, and it's your prayers and gifts that keep the good news coming on the airwaves of America and literally around the world online. So you'll find a donation link on our homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Richard Pfeiffer, for Bob Christopher, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.